Hey everyone, you know what day it is. Today's Monday, which can only mean one thing. And it's time for Get to Know Night, that weekly show where you ask me questions and I give you answers to the best of my ability. I got a ton of questions today, so I'm just going to jump into it if that's okay with you guys. The first question is from Anonymous. They go, "Hey, hope you're doing well. I am. As someone who's been guilty of it in their drawings, does it bother you at all that most drawings that are representations or interpretations of you depict you as white? Do you not mind and find it interesting since you don't plan on actually doing a face reveal of what you actually look like? Or would you rather people be more inclusive and creative? If it does bother you at all, I apologize." Well, first, you don't have to apologize. There's nothing to apologize for. I kind of like the idea that people can draw me however they want. However you see me is how you want to draw me, you know? I think that's kind of the beauty of me not doing a face reveal. I can be anyone. I can be exactly who you want me to be. There's a certain level of freedom in that. So, draw me how you feel. I take no offense to it. I appreciate every interpretation of how people draw me. Because it's how you see me. And I think that's beautiful. I think that's cool. So, yeah, never apologize. It's totally fine. You draw me how you want to draw me. You know, if you think I'm an alien with six arms, draw me like that. I don't care. Like, you know, just draw me how you feel that you want me to be drawn, you know? Like, that's all I can ask for. It's just, like, people to interpret me as they want to interpret me. So, yeah, don't feel bad about that. I never want anyone to feel bad because that's the antithesis of what I'm trying to do here, you know? So I want to say thank you for drawing me. I really appreciate it. I appreciate everyone who draws me, however you want to draw me. Because you took time out of your day to do something special for me, and I appreciate that. So yeah, don't apologize. You're all good. Thank you for your question. The next question is from Anonymous again. They go, "Happy Monday." Happy Monday to you too. I know you've been quitting caffeine lately. I have been quitting the caffeine. It's been hard. But what's your favorite go-to menu in Starbucks? Could be a non-coffee menu item. Right now, God, I don't know. It's like is it passion fruit or star fruit? I think it's kiwi star fruit or something like that. It's like a kiwi star fruit. I get it in like the biggest size. And I get it with like no fruit in it because, I don't know, the fruit really, like, really fucks it up. You're trying to drink it and it blocks the little hole. I don't know. No fruit in it. But yeah, it's good. That's what I go to. Has no caffeine, it's like a juice, so it's like better for you. I don't know. It's what I've been, when I go to Starbucks, that's what I'm getting now. Thank you for your question, though. Next question says, "Hey Kay, as an ASM artist, do you have any opinions on how to overcome self-criticism, especially in your work? Lately, I've been trying to record my podcast, and when I listen to it, I hate it, and end up recording it again, which wastes quite a bit of time. Thank you." Oh man. As someone who's also currently trying to record a podcast, don't feel bad. It's hard. I wish I had some better advice for you. I think when we do creative things, right, when we put ourselves into something, whether it's like art or like recording something, I think it's hard not to be self-critical because we are very self-critical of ourselves. You know, we are very judgmental of the things we do. What's my advice for overcoming self-criticism? I think it's really just, I think there's this thing about the artist. It's about letting go. Because when you're making something, right, you will never think it's good enough. You'll never think it's ready. You'll never think it's right. You'll always be wanting more time to just, you know, get it a little bit closer to perfection. And you can spend your life doing that, and you know, by the end of your life, you're still like, no, it's not done yet. So I think the best way to overcome self-criticism is almost the art of letting go. You have to, at some point, recognize that the things you make are good enough. And when and how you come to that conclusion is your own journey. It's different for everyone. It depends on what you're doing. Let me give you an example for me, I guess. It's like, I record a bunch of stuff usually, and I would say, when I first started recording audios, I would say maybe 10% of everything I recorded made it out to the public. And now I'm looking at almost like 80%. I think it comes with time. I think the more you do it, the more you start believing yourself. But it's hard. It's hard being able to let go. It's hard to be able to like believe that what you're doing is good enough. But it is, you know. Someone wants to hear what you have to say. So I say just put it out there. And be fearless. Those are the two things that I would give as my advice, is try to be fearless. I know it's hard. Being fearless is one of the hardest things to do, but, you know, fake it till you make it. Fake that fearlessness. And one day you'll wake up and you'll be fearless, you know? So, whatever you're trying to do, just keep at it. Don't be too hard on yourself, because it's probably better than you think it is. We are always our worst critics. Always, always, always. So just keep on. It'll be okay. Thank you for your question. Christina asks, have you published a book? And do you listen to any female rappers? Yes to both of those things. Yes to both. I love female rappers. They've been killing it recently. They've been killing it. Let's see. The next one's from Anonymous. They ask, is the Sweetheart Not Safe for Work series done? If so, why do you cut it so short? Just wondering, since you just began a new series. Alright, so here's the situation. Yes. Yes, that first initial series is done. I might go back to it at some point. In fact, almost all the series now are, I'm looking at them as more open-ended. So I might, well, once the pregnancy one's done, I really wanted to dedicate time to this pregnancy one. It was something that's, I've been working on for a really long time, and I was like, you know, maybe I should just start now. Because I can always go back to that other series at some point, but there was a lot of stuff going on, and I was like, this pregnancy series, this is the time to do it. So, yeah, I'm sorry if you're really missing that series. But there will be Not Safe Work stuff in the new series, so you're not missing out too much. But yes, the Talk Dirty to Me series is on hiatus for a little bit. We will come back to a lot of the series. I think, like, the Workplace series might get a return at some point. The Dr. Knight series might get an episode here or there. So don't, if your favorite series, if you think it's over, it's not. There'll be more. Don't worry. Thank you for your question. The next one's from Joy. Joy asks, hey, Kay. Hope you're having a great one. I'm really exhausted today. I'm having a really exhausting day at work. Hence, these questions below. All right. Is there anything you really want to do but haven't done yet? And what's your reason why you haven't gotten to it? Oh my god. That list of like all the stuff I want to do and I haven't gotten to yet is so long. And the answer for all of it is just time, you know? Time is such a precious commodity that we really don't take advantage of enough. Like, we don't... If we measured our lives in time instead of dollars, we would live very different lives. But yeah, it's time. Time is the thing that's taking. There's just not enough time in a day. There's not enough time in a month, in a week. There just isn't enough time for me to do everything I want to do. I think that's probably the crux of it, is I just don't have enough time. And it's probably on me. I need to learn how to schedule and manage my time better. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff I want to do. I'm really close to finishing some stuff that I really wanted to do for a really long time. But I just need a month where I don't have to do anything else to get it done, but I don't think I'll have that, so I'm just gonna have to parcel time out and just try to get it done. But yeah, time. Time is the answer. Thank you for your question, Joy. Hey, Knight, will you be sharing more of your recipes soon? Yeah. Kind of, maybe. I don't know. I'm just so iffy about giving out cooking recipes, because I feel like no one particularly cares, was my initial, like, feeling of it. But yeah, maybe I will. Maybe I'll give out a recipe or two. If people really want to hear me cooking or talk about cooking, Cooking with Knight could come back as a Monday series at some point. If there's enough interest. I don't know if there is, but if there is, I'm more than happy to do it. But yeah, if you want to hear recipes or hear me talk about cooking or something, I'll be more than happy to do that. Just let me know. The next question is from Anonymous. They ask, why do you think so many people, or at least some, are lonely and unhappy in their life? Like, I know I can't speak for everyone, of course, but even people that are married with kids, no kids, or someone living with their girlfriend or boyfriend or roommate or friend or family member, it doesn't matter. They're all lonely and depressed. Oof, there's so much I can talk about on this topic. This might be a podcast. This might be a whole separate episode about just that. Funnily enough, that is literally the thesis of a book I'm writing. It's called Living in the Age of Loneliness. Yeah. I think there's a lot to unpack there. I applaud you not wanting to speak universally, because yeah, there are happy people. But I do agree that there is something affecting this. There's like a generational affectation of like almost existential dread that has engulfed a generation. It's a, like a byproduct of like social media. I can go on about this for so long, but I won't. I'll resist the urge to. But yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. I think the answer is multifaceted. I think the answer has to do with a lot of stuff. But I understand exactly what you're talking about. There's this pervasive feeling of almost, I ascribe it to existentialism. I ascribe it to this longing for meaning in a world that is so quickly almost devoid of it. You know, you're trying to make sense of this eruptive chaos that is around you, and you can't help but feel small and alone and scared in the midst of it, because you despite being so well connected, also feel so alone and so small in the face of these things that are just so insurmountable, and you wonder how can they change, how can they get better, and I think that might be a lot of the cause of I don't know, this age of loneliness. But yeah, no, I think I might talk more about this in like a night rambles at some point, because it's a really, I have a lot to say on the topic, so. But I won't say it here, because I'll bore the shit out of people who don't care. but yeah, I hear what you're saying. I appreciate your question. I guess the best way to combat that feeling, at least the way I've learned, is the recognize that you really aren't alone. There's this good quote someone told me, I don't remember who. Maybe they're quoting from a book, but they told me, you're only as lonely as you think you are. You know? You're only as lonely as you think you are. So, I think if we make the effort to reach out to other people, you'll be more surprised that they'll reach back out to you. And that loneliness is a situation that can be rectified through effort, even though it's terrifying. But yeah. I think that part of it's loneliness, but the other part is happiness, like where do we derive joy in this time. I don't know. I think we have to look inward. I think everything is telling you that happiness is out there, but it really isn't. It's not. Happiness isn't outside the four walls where you live. Happiness is a lot closer to you than you think it is. It's just within you. But we're being so conditioned to try to find it out there. And I think that's a lot of the problem. I think people are looking for happiness in all the wrong places. And then that's just bringing them pain. Because, I mean, I think real lasting happiness really comes from within yourself. And that's the journey of life that you're really on, is trying to find out who you are and why, and not why you matter, but why, like, why should I love me, you know? I think that's a question we're all looking for an answer to. And I think once we find it, or at least once we find the path, I start feeling a little bit better, a little less alone, a little happier. I don't know. Yeah, as I said, I can go on about this for too long, and I won't. I'll resist the urge, but thank you for your question. The next question is from Anonymous. They ask, the last dog you had to put to sleep. I did, unfortunately. Did she sleep in your bed? She would sleep in my bed for a little bit, but there was a spot in the house that she liked to sleep better. It was like a cold floor. She loved laying on that, so she wouldn't sleep in my bed all night. Do you miss her? Yeah, I do. I think you always miss your pets. You have a special relationship with your pets, you know. It's like a best friend. And I don't know, it sucks. It sucks when you lose any pet. You lose a little bit of yourself. Let's see. Eric asks, hey Kay, sorry if this has been asked before, but what is your why? Background if you need it. I think I know the why, but I'm going to read it anyway. We were asked today by a new teaching new teacher orientation what our why is. Why we've chosen a life of teaching over a million other things you could do. So what is your why? Thank you. I think my why is twofold. I think my why is I am a storyteller. I think I am happiest when I'm telling stories. I'm happiest when I'm creating something. So that's part of it. And I think the other part of that why is I really want to help people. I think I've always wanted to help people. I think I've always looked for something that could help in some way, just kind of ease the burden of the human experience. I think that's what gravitated me to writing, and I think to film and stuff like that. I think because for me personally, those were tools of easing the burden of the human experience. It was like, I mean, I found a lot of that in escapism, which as I grew older, it was like, this isn't healthy. But I don't know. I think the ability to reach people and make their day better fuels me. It makes me love what I do. It gives me purpose, you know? Because all I've ever wanted to do, I think, is help people. In whatever capacity I could, from a very young age. I think this is a way that I can help people. So yeah, at least that's how I look at it. Thank you for your question, Erica. I really appreciate it. All right, this is the last question. Has a guy ever told you that you were cute or anything before? If so, how did it make you feel? I have been hit on by many a gay man. Yeah, I mean, I tell them I'm so sorry. I'm not like, one, I'm deeply flattered, because if you think I'm cute, thank you very much. I'm sorry. I have a girlfriend. So sorry. I'm usually really apologetic about it, because I'm just like, I'm so sorry. I don't want you, like, if things were different, if I had a different sexual orientation, maybe things would be different, and I'm so sorry I don't, but I really appreciate it. I'm deeply flattered. I don't know. Funnily enough, though, when a gay man hits on me, it is deeply flattering to me. I'm very flattered. It means that I'm like, wow, I must look really nice. Like, I'm always really, really, really deeply flattered when that happens. Funnily enough, more so than when a woman hits on me. But yeah, I'm not offended. I'm not like pissed off. I know a lot of, I never understood that when guys would be like offended when a guy would hit on them. I'm like, dude, like, come on, take a compliment, because that's what it is. It's a compliment. I mean, there are degrees. There are degrees on how to hit on someone. There's a difference between saying, hey, you're cute, and trying to like grab my ass. Those are different. Grab my ass, not okay. Telling me I'm cute, that's fine. But again, it's the same rules that apply both ways. Like, the way that you hit on a woman should be respectful. It shouldn't be hostile or creepy or gross. And if you get hit on that way, like, it doesn't matter who hits on me that way, but it'll be like, oh, please, like, come on, respect my boundaries. But yeah, I think it's, I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm always really deeply flattered when that occurs. It's not very often, but when it does happen, I am flattered. But with that I think concludes this episode of Get to Tonight. If you have any questions, please let me know. And there should be a link in the doobly-doo down below where you can ask whatever question you like. But if you have requests, please send it over to the request line. People have been so good lately. I've been so appreciating it. Request line, full of requests. Get to Tonight, no requests. Thank you, everyone. I really appreciate it. But with that, have a good night. I hope you have a great rest of your Monday. I'll talk to you later. Bye now.